ยค่ะ
For your soul. Yes, Father God, they're indeed the war. It's all about you and your love for us. And we ask you now, Lord God, to give us grace and power and courage to stand in having done all, to stand in this war. We thank you, Lord God, for the promises that have come through the covenant that you have made with us through the blood shed through Jesus Christ's life given for us. We thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. We thank you that you have secured and sealed that covenant of promise. Thank you, Lord, that you do not lie. Thank you, you keep your word. Thank you that your word is our life and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That same power still and now lives in us to quicken our mortal bodies. So give us courage and encouragement today, even wherever, however, whatever we find ourselves in, Lord God, that you are the Most High and you love us with your desperate love enough to die for us. So, Lord God, I thank you for the power also that you've given us through your word, to bind the enemy, to deal with him head on, deal with him, Lord God, not deny him, but deal with him. And we thank you. We bind the enemy now. We forbid him to continue his operation against this precious people of God. We thank you for the victories, Father. We release the victories in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose victories, breakthroughs into their lives. Remove discouragement. We bind that spirit of despair, discouragement, hopelessness, giving up, disappointment. We bind and forbid them, Father God. We thank you now for your divine protection over all of us, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, that the will of the enemy will not prevail against your people, against your church, against our families, against everything, even the tiniest things that pertain to us, that you are protecting us in all these things, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you what.
We're talking today about expectations. Yes.
Expectations. And along with expectations can come a lot of disappointments, and sometimes disappointments to the extent that people will just actually give up on God.
Yeah, that's true. But that's the whole fight. You know what it is? It's all based on this one basic rule. Is whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what God says or what it looks like or what's happening in your life? Are you going to believe what that looks like or what God said about you and what he wants to do for you?
I'm just thinking of after the resurrection of Jesus, there were these two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
Remember, Jesus joined with them and they didn't recognize him, the risen Christ. And then they were talking. They were all mollygrubbed. They were exhausted. They were disappointed. In Luke 24:21 says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. So they had seen their hope and their expectations
crushed.
In Jesus. Crushed. Mm-hmm. He's crucified. He's a bloody mess on the cross. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well,
where do we go now?
What do we do
what
now?
What were we thinking? And why did we fall? And so all those tumultuous questions about, were they following, doing the right thing, believing the right thing.
Yeah, and we all have a lot of expectations about certain things.
And crises that come, in those expectations.
Oh, yeah. Well, the dictionary defines an expectation as a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we long for. And there's a lot of different levels and degrees of expectations. There's, job descriptions, gives us requirements.
Right. Marriage expectations.
Marriage expectations.
Happily ever after.
Yeah, that sort
Cinderella
of thing.
In
relationships between parents and children, friendships, employee-employer relationships.
We want everything to go well.
Yeah, on sports teams, work teammates, churches, pastors, everything. And a lot of times things...
I think there's a lot of high expectations put on people.
To perform.
Potential performance. You've got a talent. Everybody's, wanting you to be great. We all want to be great. I think that's part of who we are as sons and daughters of God, because God is great. And so there's a desire in us to be noticed, to be great, to succeed, to have our dreams met. And so when we're in the snake pit, looking for those dreams to be met can be crushed quite quickly, especially if you come from a place where you've not had a lot of upbuilding and revelation of God, because many people are born into this world and have no clue about heaven, hell, God, Jesus, salvation. And so they're kind of on their own in this area of expectation and faith.
And a lot of times, you know, there are expectations that are not met. We have expectations that sometimes are very unrealistic.
Yeah, sometimes,
we're not,
yeah.
We're not met.
Yeah.
We get disappointed, well, frustrated.
You know what? Because we build our identity out of the success and the behavior and the achievements and the accomplishments. That's how we see ourselves, not as sons and daughters of God that have come from heaven and that have an eternal destination, destiny, but we see ourselves as, you know, a good athlete or a successful businessman or whatever those things might all look like for you in your particular life. And so when you don't achieve that goal or the goals others have set for you, then you feel like you failed and you've lost your expectation. You become disappointed in yourself. But the thing is, this whole thing down here is not about me. It's not about me succeeding in the expectations other people have for me. It is about knowing God and succeeding in His heart's desire for us. And I think that's what maturity in Christ is letting go of your own ambitions, your vain ambitions, your desires that have been contaminated by the things of the world, and to surrender all of that and to die, so that once you die, you have no more expectations, you have no more disappointment, so you can actually then arise to live for God.
Sometimes we expect some kind of personal fulfillment in things,
yeah,
or behaviors that may only provide us with some temporary or deceptive satisfaction.
Yeah, or
pleasure.
And
they actually, these things may, if they're fulfilled, they may actually contribute to our physical, moral, and spiritual destruction.
Or downfall. Yes, exactly. And that's why sometimes I think we don't understand what God's doing, because we think, well, God has all this power, you know, and God is supposed to be good, and you know, he can do anything he wants. He can have anything he wants. He can do, you know, he can make things go the way he wants them to go. So why is God letting all this bad stuff happen all the time? And that becomes a real issue, a real breaking point with a lot of people. They're mad at God. Why didn't God do something? Why doesn't God do something? Why did he let this happen? And you know, we don't understand the rules of this war. God has given us a free will, and he gave us that free will so that we could exercise it to love him freely instead of being forced to love him as a robot. He gave us an option to not listen to him. But the thing is, we're better off, way better off, if we follow him, listen to him, and know that he loves us. So because God gave us a free will, you know, God's will for us is to be successful, just like your will for your children is for them to be successful, and you're jealous over them with a godly jealousy because you want them to do better than everybody else. But God wants us to do well, but because we have a free will, and because there's also the devil who has a will for us too, and his will is to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy us, separate us from God, make us alienate us from God, make us mad at God, make God look like the bad guy. Satan keeps on promoting that. Where's God? Why, if God is so good? And so he takes out of the equation the fact that he, the devil, is tempting us to use our free will to do the stupidest things impossible, to break our faith in God and break up our lives.
And oftentimes we expect God to perform for us.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to do what we wanted.
Right.
The disciples came to Jesus one today and they said, "We want you to do for us whatever we want."
Yeah.
They asked him that question,
and then they said to him, and they wanted to sit on the right and left hand side of Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, well, are you able to do what I have to do? Are you able to follow me? Are you able to, you know, go through what I have to go through to be able to get to that position? And they said, yeah, for sure. But they had no idea what he was talking about. It's actually completely letting go of your life and giving it to God. It is like dying. You give up your ambitions to follow the will of God. And that actually becomes the place of the greatest satisfaction and completion. Is when you do the will of God, and people are kept from knowing that because they think, I want to do what I want to do.
Yeah, we think that, you know, that we should try to find some heaven on earth. Well, there's heaven on earth because of our relationship with Jesus and his blessings, spiritual blessings and all that sort of thing. But sometimes we think, you know, I should...
I should have my best life now.
Right.
That's what we think. And we've been told, oh, you know, you should, you know, you need prosperity, you need a better job, you know, all these things that will make us happy. But my best life now is not here. I don't care what people tell you. I don't even care if it's preachers who've said that. I don't care if they've written books about that. Our best life now, this is a training ground for heaven. This is this is boot camp. This is a training ground to teach us to be warriors, give us opportunities to be faithful, to learn how to follow Jesus, how to trust him and be warriors. Really, that's what it is.
Well, in the parable of the sower and the soils, there was one place where the seed fell on thorny ground where the weeds basically choked out the word.
Yeah.
And he said, Jesus explained it, and he said, it's the cares and riches and pleasures of this life.
The disappointments.
The distractions, the disappointments. And you're worried about this, worried about that.
Well, when you're disappointed in God, where do you go? If you're done with God, where do you go to get help or encouragement?
Well, I think of in John chapter 6, Jesus was talking to the people about they had to, you know, eat his body and drink his blood, and they're like,
we don't get this.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
you're talking in spiritual terms.
Crazy cannibalism. What are you talking about?
And he goes through this long explanation and teaching, and a lot of the people left.
Because
the disciples left.
Yep.
They walked no more with him. And Jesus said, you know, again to the 12, he said, you're going to go away too?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, where should we go?
Yeah.
You have the words of eternal
life.
Well,
this is the bottom line. Satan wants to push us to the place of, well, I can't do this anymore. I can't trust God anymore. This isn't working. He's not answering my prayer. But where are you going to go? Where ultimately are you going to go, around the mountain again by yourself? Or are you going to fall on your knees or say, God, have mercy upon me?
And sometimes we live in such rebellion against God. We're just doing our own deal. We're disregarding him. And then we wonder why things go bad.
Yeah,
and it's like, really?
Yeah, because we have failed to walk in the truth and trust the Lord. And I think that's the whole message of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, a lot of the characters in the Bible, they all went through this horrific personal battle, struggle, whether it was, you know, on the battlefield like Joshua, or maybe it was Gideon grinding out the wheat, or whatever it was. They're going through a battle of faith, a crisis of faith. And so faith means, do I trust God or do I trust myself? Because actually, when you trust yourself, you're not trusting yourself. You're trusting the liar, the devil, because there's only two options. It's not like we can be here and not make a choice. Even if you don't make a choice, I'm not into that God stuff and I'm not going to make any choices. You've already made a choice. You've already made a decision to reject the counsel of the word of God, the promises of God, the goodness of God, to believe that I can do this on my own. But, you know, you don't get too far down the road until you realize that isn't working either. So then you have another chance to come back. And a lot of our issues, I think, are just that struggle that God is trying to get us to know, recognize, agree with, that we cannot do this on our own.
Yeah, and it's trusting him when we don't understand why things go the way they go.
That's exactly right. We
got
to trust him.
So there's difficult times that come.
Yeah.
But then there's difficult times that come in ways that we didn't think they were going to come,
yeah.
And they last longer, a lot longer than what we'd
ever anticipated. Yeah, one of the reasons they last longer is because we promote that thing that we hate. We keep saying it's never going to change, and then we keep using our words. You know, don't use your words to repeat the problem and pray the problem and broadcast the problem. Use your words to bind the problem and release the revelation of God. Now, this takes courage because it's any dead fish can swim downstream. It's easy to go with the flow of negativity. It's really easy. I mean, that's the whole world set up on the basis of negativity. But God says, trust in me at all times. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me. I will direct your paths. We need to. And the way we do that is to stay in the word of God. You know, and then like one of the things, what do you do when you're in a hard trial? Well, I think Psalm 62 has a very good direction for what to do when we're in a trial. He says it's titled Wait for God. And it starts out, there's only 12 verses here. Let's just kind of look at this a minute. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. So this man is making a declaration. It's David, actually, a psalm of David, making a look at David's life. If you have an interesting read, read the story of David's life. What about harassment? What about every bad, terrible, difficult thing? Okay, he started out in obscurity, in the sheep, doing shepherding things. Then he was lifted to some prominence when he killed Goliath. Then the king got jealous of him, and then he was chased for a long time in caves. And he was anointed king, but he wasn't able to be king. He was failing. He had to run from his own friends, his own family. He had to hide out. Here he is supposed to be the king, and look what's happening to him. Now, where's God? Dave's going to say, mm-hmm. Where is God mm-hmm. in all of this? I was anointed by Samuel. I should be the king by now. And he says, truly, this is his words, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. Why does he silently wait? Because he has to keep his mouth shut. That's why. Because if he opens his mouth, he's going to start to grumble, complain, and give the devil words to use against him. I give up. This isn't fair. I'm sick of this. Where's God? You shut your mouth. When you wait silently, you're probably in a better position than when you wait with your mouth open. He says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I will not be greatly moved. Now, this is the whole point, isn't it? To move us beyond, to the place of discouragement, to move us beyond.
Yeah. Sometimes, and just breaking in here a little bit, sometimes what happens is that, we can be shaken by things that we don't understand, mm-hmm. right? So say if we pray for a miracle for someone or something and it doesn't come.
Yeah.
We pray for someone to be healed and they die. We believe for the healing of a marriage and the divorce goes through.
Well,
and there's things like this.
The list is endless. You can go on and on with that list. But the thing is, that's not what God wants. I mean, God wants restoration, healing, blessing, truth, freedom, joy, peace. But we're in the snake pit. So here's what David did. He didn't go with, what it looks like. He didn't go with what he felt like. He didn't go with what it should be. He didn't go, and he wasn't angry. He said, I have a right and I'm mad at God. He shut his mouth and he declared instead, the Bible says Jesus says, in everything, Paul says, everything, what?
Give thanks.
And rejoice. Rejoice. Two things that are hard to do sometimes.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You don't necessarily rejoice because of what's going on.
Right.
You rejoice in the Lord.
Why do you rejoice in the Lord?
He's taking care of things in the midst of when it seems like it's really crazy.
It's like that. There's this match between God and Satan. Satan makes a move in your life to destroy something, rip something up, something you love, hurt you, jab you, expose you, or lie about you. Then God makes a move. And so then when God makes a move, he's addressing what Satan tried to do in your life. And then Satan makes another move. And then God makes a move. Then Satan makes... So in the middle of the high point of the despair, the low point of the despair, trust that God is going to make a move next. Trust and look to the Lord. Like David, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I'm not going to move from this place of trusting in God. I will not be shaken. The Bible says, stand in having done all, to stand in that evil day. We are here now, not to fight, but to stand. Why? Because God's already gained the victory. How long will you attack a man? I don't know who he's asking this to. You shall be slain, all of you. So he's talking, maybe talking to himself out loud. Who's attacking him? Everybody. How long are you going to chase me, Saul? Mm-hmm. Like a leaning wall and a tottering fence, they only consult to cast him down from the high point, from his high position. Their delight is in lies. They bless themselves with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Selah.
So he's dealing with the treachery and the attacks of other people.
Yeah, political, he was in a political arena, the king's court, where, everything was, you do what the king says or you die. Well, David had fallen out of favor with Saul because Saul was insecure and jealous, and David had just killed Goliath. So he says, probably in a cave, he's saying this, verse 5, my soul, he's talking to himself, wait silently for God alone. Okay, what is he saying? Be quiet. Shut up. Don't give words to the devil, you guys. Shut up. Be quiet. Be silent. Or just thank God and rejoice or praise God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. So the question here is, are you going to be moved from your place of faith? Or is God going to be faithful to keep you?
So he's talking to his soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that we talk to our souls. I mean, how often do you talk to your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions.
And you tell them to
tell them, shape up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, preach waiting, the word of
waiting,
God.
We're waiting for the Lord
preach
here to
the
come
word
through.
Of God to your soul.
He's our expectation. He's our hope. Mm-hmm. And he is not going to disappoint us. He's going to come through.
Yeah, if we're
even if it's a long wait, and even if things seem to be crazy, we know that he is going to come through for us. The David said later on, he said, God is for me.
Right, so he's talking to his soul. He's comforting his soul. He's saying, wait quietly, silently for God, for he is my expectation. So a lot of times your spirit knows the truth. Your soul is freaking out. So the things we know to be true of God through the word of God that we've studied is now with us. So we can have that courage and that confidence. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. So he's really knowing his security, his sure footing. The promise is on Christ, the rock. He doesn't know Christ yet, but he knows the word. He knows it's the rock. And my refuge is in God. So he was keeping he was being protected, sheltered, loved, kept from anxiety, kept from and this is not just a made-up story. He was literally being chased every day of his life, practically, by enemies. So he had to really lock himself into the thing he was preaching. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us.
You know, just think of that, though. Trust at him at all times.
Yeah.
When things just seem to be totally crazy and out of control, trust in him.
In the crises.
In the crises.
In the disappointments.
Yeah.
In the sudden turns. Yes. In the accusations. In the loss of a job. In the loss of confidence in a friendship. Trust in God. Do you know why? Because in Romans 8:28, it says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. God is permitting some of this stuff to happen to us because Satan is petitioning for it. I want to test Job. I want to, I want to prove to you, God, you can't keep him. So Satan is requiring, asking, challenging, whatever you want to use, to get to God to say, God, let me test them. Let me have at them. And so God is permitting he's permitting, but he already knows the outcome. So it's not like he's permitting you to go to your sudden and unexpected death. God already knows what's going to happen, but he's permitting Satan to hang himself, because when Satan goes after us like this, that gives God permission to bless us like he did with Job. And it also gets us a chance to see the dynamics between God and Satan and choose again who's for us and who's not, who died for us, who waits for us, who stood by us, who the devil is a hireling. He's not the true shepherd. He runs out when things get tough. He throws, a bunch of mess at you, and then he backs out and sees how you want to handle that. So then you go down, and then another set of demons come after you again. So the thing is, God is for us. God knows all. He is all-knowing. He knows ahead of time. He knows today. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows where you're going to be 2 days from now. He knows everything about your trials. He knows where you're at in the pit and where you're at in the crisis you're in right now.
So it's a matter of resting in him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's easy a lot of times, because we look at our circumstances.
Yep.
Like Peter, when he was walking on the water, and then he looked at the storm and he started to sink. And you look at your circumstances, and you get under your circumstances.
Mm-hmm. They pull you under.
They pull you under. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned about the Word of God. The Word of God is our trust and our hope. We hold on to the Word of God in the midst of mm-hmm. the chaos, the demonic chaos of this world.
Yeah.
We rest fully mm-hmm. in the rock, Christ Jesus.
Jesus didn't say walk on the water. He said stand on the rock.
Yeah.
It's really not that hard to stand on a rock. It's pretty hard to walk on water. And so I think a lot of us think we should be walking on water, but we are actually called by Jesus, Paul, David here. He is my rock. He only is my rock. He's the rock of my salvation. That's your sure footing. That's where your claim to life and strength is in the rock. The rock is Jesus Christ. He is my defense. I will not be moved. Satan's trying to push you around. God is my salvation and my glory. I'm not looking for glory in any other thing. God is my glory. To glorify God is my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And then it says again in verse 8, trust in the Lord at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God wants to hear what you're going through, but he doesn't want it, yes, he knows what we're going through. Poor our God, I'm trusting in you right now. God, I don't know where this thing is going to go right now. But, you know, when you're pouring out your heart to God, it's not like you're giving weapons and words to the devil. When you pour out your heart to God, you know what? I trust you. I know this is going to work. I know that somehow all things work together. I know, God, that you have a plan. I know Satan is after this. I don't know what his claim to my life is. But, Lord, I know that Jesus Christ became a curse for me to deliver me from this curse. And so I'm claiming my right through the covenant of, that we have in the New Testament that Jesus gave us, the promises of God. I'm a blood-bought daughter or son of the Most High God. I'm standing on the faithfulness of God to keep his word in this covenant to bring me out of this mess right now. That's how you pour out your complaint before God. He says in verse 9, Surely men of low degree are a vapor. In other words, they're not going to last. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed in the balances, they are altogether lighter than a vapor. They're nothing. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. Don't try to do these things to promote yourself. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice. I've heard this. The power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belong mercy, for you render to each one according to his works. In another psalm, it says, to God belongs the ways of escape. And those ways of escape are things that we need today, tomorrow. Jesus is the way. So there's one way through whatever you're going through that is working, that's going to work for you. There's one way of escape.
Yeah, and I just think of Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. I want to read this from the Amplified Bible. It says, now to him who, by inconsequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. And sometimes we get to the point where, like, well, Lord, can you do anything here? Mm-hmm. But we need to be reminded of the Word of God that he is able to do. And he's willing to do, and we can see him do something beyond our imagination.
Yes. And something even beyond our ability to pray for it, because we can't even imagine how God's going to get us out of this trouble or do whatever. And yet he does some remarkable thing, and it just changes everything, and you don't even know how he did it.
Yeah. And I think of, too, in Jeremiah chapter 29, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Mm-hmm. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Mm-hmm. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verse 11 and 14, those verses, he has made everything beautiful in its time.
So we're in good hands with the Lord God. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to complete your word, your will, your promises in and through us, even though most of the time we're fretting, anxious, questioning, upset, and tormented with unbelief. Forgive us, Lord God. You know we're no match for the enemy, but you are. And so we pray today for those who are struggling that you would lift them up with encouragement and give them their heart's desire, Father God, that you'd lead us. You said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So, Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus Christ that the people who are being led into these temptations by the enemy, by the circumstances, by people around them, that they be led out, let go of my people, as Moses said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And we're saying to the same thing, let God's people go, enemy. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not have them. This harvest does not belong to you. And whatever you're trying to do to disrupt them and distract them and take them away from God will not work. We declare it in the name of Jesus Christ.
And we know that God is a God of justice. And it seems to me you have a book, something about that.
Oh, yeah. A Case for Justice. That's right. That's a very powerful book. It really explains a lot of the backstory and why bad things happen and why people don't, you know, what are the rules in this game? That it's not a game, it's war. So we've got A Case for Justice. And that's really, and there's a couple of CDs, one called Taking the Devil to Court. That's a book also. There's just a lot of stuff. LifeRecovery.com. Go check it out. Have a great day.
God bless you.
location.
Because there's a war for your soul.